An investigator says a pilot was communicating by radio with her boyfriend before their planes collided in the air over Alaska last week, killing him. National Transportation Safety Board investigator Clint Johnson says the two pilots took off from different western Alaska villages Friday, but met up in the air on the way to Bethel. Johnson says pilot Kristen Sprague of Idaho lost track of the other plane shortly before it struck her plane's right wing about 800 feet above ground. She was able to land safely. The other aircraft, a Cessna 208 Caravan, crashed and burst into flames, killing 24-year-old Scott Veal of Kenai. It was the state's third mid-air crash since July. A veteran pilot has broken his neck in a plane crash on the tundra. 66-year-old James Ken Richardson had dropped off two hunting partners in the Alaska Range on Sunday and was preparing to land in McGrath when he lost power. His wife, Nancy, says that Richardson underwent surgery yesterday and doctors believe that he will be able to walk again. She says he is a 40-year pilot with more than 22,000 flight hours in Alaska, a former guide and one-time wildlife officer who now flies for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. A 39-year-old man is in custody after he tried to rush the exit door on an Alaska Airlines jet as it was taxiing to a gate at SeaTac. Airport spokesman Perry Cooper says passengers and the crew had to subdue the man yesterday, who was apparently anxious to get off the aircraft. One crew member was bitten in the arm during the scuffle and was taken to Highline Medical Center in Burien for treatment of minor injuries. The man was taken to Highline for a mental health evaluation before being transported to King County Jail. He was expected to be booked on investigation of felony assault. Flight 108 from Anchorage landed in Seattle at about 4:30 yesterday morning. Cooper says no other airport operations were affected by the incident. John Hoover, an artist who used imagery and tales from Native traditions in contemporary works, has died at the age of 91. Hoover's work was shown around the world and was prized by collectors, corporations, and museums. His wife, Mary, confirmed his death Saturday in Washington State, where they lived on Puget Sound. Hoover was born in Cordova and for years worked as a fisherman. He said in a 1998 interview that he turned to art after building a 58-foot fishing vessel in the late 1950s, made him realize what he had done was much like sculpture. In 2002, the Anchorage Museum held a retrospective of his work, and just last May, the University of Alaska Anchorage awarded him an honorary doctorate. From Ethiopia to the Himalayas to Alaska, indigenous people are experiencing the effects of a changing climate. The Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian is sharing their experiences in an exhibit called Conversations with the Earth. And it includes photos and stories from Alaska's Arctic Village. Libby Casey has a story.
French photographer Nicolas Vuillaume traveled far to take the pictures in the Smithsonian exhibit Conversations with the Earth. His stops included Brazil, Peru, and India. But one of the most unique places, he says, was Arctic Village on the border of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
When you look it on the map, it's a long way. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's nature, you know. State of nature.
Vuillaume documented the local ecosystems of 15 tribal communities in more than a dozen countries and how people are coping with climate change.
The whole idea of Conversation with the Earth is to try to bring the voices and to bring conversations to the other people. So that's why in some moment also we do some recordings of the voices. So it's all dealing with proximity of people, trust, and they explain what they see, what they experience.
One of the Alaskans profiled is Gwich'in leader Sarah James. The exhibit shows a big close-up portrait of her looking directly into the camera and at the viewer through her thin glasses. Silvery hair frames her face. You can also hear her story in her own words by pressing a button near the photo. James was recently in Washington for the exhibit's opening and said she likes the way the global exhibit comes together.
As a whole, it's very nicely done, and the story along with it is really, really good, because as you go into the exhibit, it just goes on and on, and how these people see the climate change and global warming, how it's affecting them, and they're always looking at a solution, too. I thought that was really good when they're looking at solution.
One photo shows the grand winter landscape of Arctic Village, dotted in the foreground with leaning trees.
They call it a drunken tree in Alaska because a lot of permafrost is melting under it. It's not standing up straight anymore, a lot of trees.
Nicola Viome had some adventures getting the pictures, like going out on a caribou hunt. One photo shows Gwich'in hunter Jimmy John warming himself by the fire at his winter camp. The embers crackle and snowflakes pop in the foreground. You can feel how cold it is. A nearby tent glows, lit from within against the dark blue sky.
I grew up living in that kind of wall tent, we call it. And we put a little stove in there. You'll see it later in sight. We cook in there. But if it's really cold, like they were out 30 below, that means his back is pretty cold, but front is warm. That's what it is right now.
And the problem, I remember, is it's very hot when you put some wood, but in the middle of the night, then no wood's burning, and then you're freezing, and you wake up with some ice around you. I mean, those guys are tough. Me, I'm a Frenchman, so it was stronger, but it was really a great experience.
And despite the cold of late winter in Arctic Village, Viome found warmth.
The heart of the people, they keep you warm, and the caribou meat also keep you warm. I mean, you eat caribou meat in the morning, in the afternoon, and the night. It's very nutritive. It's a big stuff.
The Gwich'in call themselves the caribou people, and they say their way of life and the caribou on which they survive are threatened by climate change. As lakes dry up, plant life dies, and the caribou may change their migration patterns. So the Arctic Village community opened itself up to Nicola Viome and his camera as a way to spread the word. In total, he documents six ecosystems in the Smithsonian exhibit. Another is the Zanskari people in the Himalayas, who've become, in Viome's words, climate refugees as they move in search of fresh water.
And the problem over there is the glacier are melting, and the community have to change their traditional village. They have to abandon their traditional village to settle in other places. So imagine all the changes in mind, in the way of behaving, and the way of knowing your environment. You have to move and adapt. It's kind of climate refugee in a way. You know, it's going to be more and more like that.
Viome says it's important to him as a photographer not to just take from his subjects, so he shared the photos with them. And the indigenous communities are equal partners in the exhibit. All of them hope he's not documenting a way of life that's on its way out. They hope instead that it's capturing a moment in their stories of survival. Conversations with the Earth is on display at the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian until January. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.
Another big night tonight for the young Juno performer in the final stretch of a nationwide television talent competition. 11-year-old Anna Graceman performs live in Hollywood tonight as one of the top 10 acts for America's Got Talent. Viewer voting will determine which of the four acts advance to the finale next week.
Well, I always get a little bit nervous, but nerves are always good. And I just think about all the fans out there, all of Alaska watching, and I want to make them proud. So that's what I think about when I go on stage.
That's Anna Graceman in an interview with Juno NBC affiliate KATH-TV on Friday. Graceman performed Motley Crue's Home Sweet Home last Tuesday and Alicia Keys' If I Ain't Got You during her debut on the show in June. Graceman says she'd like to perform with some of the artists whose music that she's performed on the show.
I would love to work with Alicia Keys. She is a great singer, artist. She is my idol, and I would really love to work with her someday.
You can see that interview on KATH this evening during the 6 o'clock newscast, and that's on GCI Cable Channel 15 in Juneau, Channel 5 on DirecTV, or 5-9380 on Dish Network. Then tonight's big performance of America's Got Talent starts at 8 o'clock.